there yet. We're trying to be diligent. We're trying to be at peace with each other. We're trying to be without spot. We're trying to be blameless. But as days go by day, moment by moment, sometimes, yes, we lose our focus, and you know what happens. We fall. However, as we sang earlier in our opening hymn, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be what?
No more.
I'm looking forward to that, folks. Amen. When time will be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, all because Jesus is, we'll be able to say, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. Whether you realize it or not, folks, when we sing these words, we are claiming the promises in God's word that our salvation is sure. And that's all because Jesus is who he is. Our names will not be, but is, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, where it says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will note that there are conditions to the fulfillment of this promise. There's nothing evil, no shameful practices of idolatry, no dishonesty. And again, that will only happen by God's grace and his power working in and through each one of us, to the point where, as it said in our scripture text, we will be without spot. We will be blameless. We'll be at peace with each other. The rest of that song that we sang said, on that bright and cloudless morning, because of who Jesus is, the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen. You notice another condition here in the song. Who will rise? The dead in Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be where? Come on, you Bible scholars. If any man be in Christ, what happens? He becomes something new. Wow. What a feeling. Whew, feeling goosebumps already. As we say in Hawaii, chicken skin. Okay. We become that person that God is looking for. Without spot. Blameless. And you may have heard me say this before, but whenever we claim that promise in 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess what?
Our sins.
He is faithful and just to do what?
Forgive.
And God just doesn't stop right there in forgiving. He does what? He cleanses. Cleans you all up, squeaky clean. As though you and I did not do anything wrong.
Amen.
I praise God for that, because I sure would hate to have to go and look at my records of my past. I praise God that he is one that erases all of that.
Amen.
That is no more. So yes, the dead in Christ will rise. And as it says also in John 15, verse 4, where Jesus says, abide where? In me, and he in us. And therefore, God is able to fulfill his promise to help us become who he wants us to be, in peace with each other, being spotless, being blameless, being filled with his love. So, as it says, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, And the role is called up yonder, again, because who Jesus is, we can claim the promise, I'll be there. And it is by thinking that each one of you would like very much to be there. Amen. I do. And I would just love to see you there with me.
Amen.
See? So let's vow together, folks, to do what God is asking us to do, to be what God is asking us to be, so that, yes, we can be assured that when that role is caught up yonder, I'll be there, you'll be there. See? And because Jesus is, we are still here. We have work that needs to be done. So as the lyrics to the song said, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Let us talk of his wondrous love and care. Again, folks, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. We need to get the message out of these walls. Otherwise, we're going to be here a mighty long time. And I sure don't want to see that to happen. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you are willing to start taking this beautiful love story of Jesus out where it needs to be? Okay? I would encourage you to get on your knees, seriously. You know, it amazes me today that in all of our churches, and I used to be this way myself, very, very shy. You would never catch me up here doing what I'm doing right now. Never. It is only by God's grace that I am up here.
Amen.
Because it's only by God's grace when I finally said, okay, Father, here I am. You know I don't like to do this, but I'll do it for you. My first Bible study, thanks to an old pastor friend of mine who called me one day and said, Pat, I'm supposed to do this Bible study, but something came up and I can't do it. Will you do it? And I've never given a Bible study before in my life. Okay? And I reluctantly said, yes. He says, great, go to my office, which I happened to have had the key because I was the head deacon at that time. And he said, on my desk is the lessons. Pick it up. And he told me who it was, and I almost fell over backwards. It was one of my co-workers at work. And I said to him, did you say Francis? And he says, yes. And when he told me the last name, Lum, I says, I know that guy. I work with him. And strangely enough, the day before this, Francis came up to me during work, and we were just talking casually, and I said something about church, and he said, I'm an Adventist. And he said, I'm learning to become one. So I said, oh, wow, terrific, beautiful. Not knowing that the next day, I was going to be in his house going over the lesson with him. Amen?
Amen.
See how God works? Yes. When you are willing? Yes. I'll be honest with you. I was nervous. Even though he was my friend. I had to do a lot of praying while I was driving to his house. Father, you know I've never done this before. Please show me what I need to do. Speak through these lips. A knock on the door. Francis opens the door, and he's shocked to see me there. And I said, surprise, I'm Pastor Driver tonight. And so anyway, we had the Bible study. We had a great evening. And he eventually accepted the Lord as his personal Savior and went through the baptism and became a member of our Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Amen.
I praise God for that. However, as the years went by, Francis dropped out of the church. I think I mentioned it to you before that I'm planning on moving back to Hawaii, where I'm from. And the church that I will be working at happens to be the church that Francis used to attend. So guess what I'll be doing? Hey, Brother Francis, how you doing? Yeah. We need to be out there, folks, reclaiming God's people.
Amen.
And let the Holy Spirit move. And whoever wants to be reclaimed will be reclaimed. So that they, along with you and I, will be able to say that when the roll is called up yonder, what?
I'll be there.
I'll be there. Yes. I'll be there. I'll be there. So God, who we know is love, as 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16 tells us that God is love, he gives us promises in his word that assures us that our names will be there. Promises such as one found in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read this from the New Century Version, one that Pastor likes to use. It says, Jesus has the power of God. Notice what he does with this power. By which he has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. Remember in our scripture text, it said that we ought to be without spot, blameless. If you're having a problem with that, claim the promise right here that I just mentioned here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus has given you and I everything. How much? Everything. Everything you and I need to be without spot. Everything you and I need to be blameless. Everything you and I need to walk in his love. Everything you and I need to take his story out of these walls through all of Vista. Everything, folks. I cannot oversize that word, everything. But that's God is the one that said it. Everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory. Through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. And with these gifts, you can share in God's nature, and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. Now notice it mentioned the words, we know him. God gave us these things because we know him. If you recall, in one of my previous sermons here was entitled, To Know Him. And to know God, the way Jesus prays there in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. As the word know is being used there in that one verse, John 17, verse 3, Jesus is basically saying this. This is not just head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. Okay? Because where does Jesus need to be? As we said earlier, he needs to be where? In us. Okay? In our hearts. Not just in our mind. He's not just somebody that we know about. Oh, yeah, he's coming again. Da, 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 da. No. He needs to be here. Right now, words to a song is coming to my mind. We hardly sing it. We have this hope. And as a result of having the hope, what happens? It burns, folks. Burns within our hearts. Is the hope of Jesus' soon return burning in your heart and mine?
Yes.
In such a way that I will choose to obey him. I will choose to allow him to help me to become without spot, without blame, to be diligent. To follow him. That's our God, folks. And again, all things is possible with God. And that includes him changing you and I from the inside out. But as usual, there's a condition to God's promises, right? It all depends on me allowing him to do what he wants to do in here. Okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God has begun what? A good work in you, in me. Say that a little bit more evangelistic, man. He will finish it. But again, that's only as you and I allow him to. Okay? And it's my prayer that you and I would do just that. Let God finish his mighty work in you and I. So that, yes, I will be in peace. I will be without spot. I will be blameless in his eyes. Okay? In his eyes. So again, as we read those verses, God has given us everything we need to live and to serve him. You recall a couple of months ago when I spoke on to know him. Okay? In order for you and I to grow in Jesus, as Jesus prayed there again in John 17, verse 3, to know you, they will have eternal life. We looked at that word know, remember, K-N-O-W. And, you know, to help us, for the K in the word know, we should find ourselves kneeling before God daily. Kneeling before God. The N in the word know, we should, by his grace, allow nothing to come between us and God. The O in the word know, you know, obedient is a good one. But let's go a step higher to become one with our God. So that when God moves, we move. Where God moves, we go. When God speaks, we speak. Okay? So let's allow ourselves to become one with God. And a W in the word know? You remember? Okay. How do we obtain faith? What does Romans 10 verse 17 tell us? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So get into the word, folks. And I guarantee you, as you kneel before him, as you allow nothing by his grace to come between you and him, as you allow yourself to become one with him, as you spend time in his word and claiming his promises, you will have that heart knowledge that he is looking for in each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
That's God, folks. Again, he doesn't ask us to be or to do anything he knows we cannot do without him. Amen. Everything he asks us to be and to do, he is right there. He has, in fact, we just read it earlier. He has given us how much? Everything.
Power.
Yes, thank you, brother. All the power we need to overcome. All the power we need to be victorious in our lives. So I encourage you folks to spend time with Jesus because Jesus is who he is. God is looking for just that kind of people. People who are in peace. People who are without spot. People who are blameless. And again, only by his grace. So are you and I willing to get to know this God so that he can help us reach that point in our lives when, as I said earlier, when God speaks, we speak. When God moves, we move. Again, that's God, folks. Let's vow together to walk with this God through the reading of His Word and making hiding His Word where? And guess what? Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word is, no, I'm sorry. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And what's His promise? I will not sin against Him. And again, hey, verses I've struggled with many times. Lord, you got to be kidding. But again, if God is who He is, and He says He'll do what He says He'll do for us, a lot of people say, well, we're human. We're going to fall. That's a given. And my response was, so was Jesus. He was also human. But guess what? Without sin. Hallelujah, folks. I know it seems impossible, but again, do we serve an impossible God? By all means, no. We already, I think, established the fact that all things is possible with God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In the Amplified Version, it says, I am coming quickly. Hold tight what you have so that no one will take your crown by leading you to renounce the faith. So what's the counsel here, folks? Hold fast to Jesus and Him crucified. A familiar text in Romans 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or famine or nakedness? By the way, the word nakedness, Pastor, if I correct, means it's a large knife that was used back then. See? Tribulation or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Now note that when it says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is the love that Jesus has for you and I. Nothing can diminish it. Nothing can stop Him from loving you and I. But it's up to you and I to accept that love for you, for me. And then He can do His mighty work of helping us to be diligent, to be in peace, to be without spot, to be blameless. So today, as we know, all of America is celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, when 13 colonies elected delegates to get together, and they came up with the Declaration of Independence. And when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they were declaring their separation from Great Britain and King George III. In marking the official birth of the United States of America as a free nation. And ever since then, July 4th has become known as Independence Day. But what is strange is that even though July 4th is rightfully called Independence Day, most people in general refer to it as 4th of July. It's just the 4th of July. Yesterday, my neighbor saw me. I was outside watering some plants, and she says, what are you doing for the 4th? I said, I'll be in church. Let me share this with you. This neighbor does not want anything to do with religion. And as soon as I said, I'll be in church, she did this to me and turned, and I thought she was going to fall over backwards, but anyway, I almost wanted to laugh. But we've had some conversations previously, but yeah. But I said, I'll be in church. I'll be celebrating the one who has freed me from sin. How many of you remember your Independence Day when you first gave your life to Jesus? Remember that moment? How did you feel? Yeah. Yes. So, in Romans 6, verses 6 to 8, here we read from the Amplified Version, it says, we know that our old self, that is our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him. What happened? What was nailed to the cross? Our old self. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. Now, if we had died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And I just love verse 11 of the same chapter. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you can obey its lusts and passions. Do not go on offering your members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. Oh, and I just got to share verse 18. And it kind of goes along with the verse that the pastor has at the bottom of your bulletin. It says here in verse 18 of Romans 6, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Anyone want to be a servant of righteousness today? Amen. So that, yes, when that roll is called up yonder,
I'll be there.
Hallelujah. Amen. And again, it's all because Jesus is. Lord. Is he Lord of your life?
Yes.
Not just your Savior. Okay? You remember. Okay, I'm going to ask it again. What's the difference between Lord and Savior? Anyone?
Lord and Savior.
Jesus is our Savior. He is also my Lord.
My Lord.
Okay? Well, for the sake of time, Savior, no one wants to be lost.
Amen.
No one wants to die.
Amen.
Everyone wants to be saved. So they have no problem with accepting Jesus as their Savior.
Amen.
Where we get hung up on is accepting him as Lord. Because why? I want to be in control of my life instead of him. So again, folks, we need to accept him not just as Savior, but Lord, one who is in control of my heart. So that, yes, I will be diligent. I will be peace. I will be without spot. I will be blameless. All because when he forgave me, he also cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Again, squeaky clean. That's our God. All because Jesus is. So again, when that roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. So let us proclaim our independence from Satan this morning. Don't forget who you belong to now.
Jesus.
Yes. Because I've seen it happen all too often. I've been there, done that myself. You know, we just say, I love you, Lord. And somebody, a brother, dear brother or sister in Christ, in church even, will cause you to lose your sanity. But, again, if we are in Christ, guess what? Because we are that new person, we're not going to lose our cool anymore.
Yeah.
Right? We'll be able to deal with the situation in a very positive manner. So again, is it time for the Lord to come, folks?
Yes.
Are you certain of that?
Yes.
How many of you are willing to hasten that day? Because in our closing hymn, that we're going to sing hymn number 212. 'Tis almost time for the Lord to come. It's time, folks. I wish it was today.
Amen.
In fact, any of you heard that song before? It's called Come Jesus Come. And the next phrase is, let today be the day. And my prayer has been, Father, if your son Jesus doesn't physically come in the clouds of glory, may he come here. May he come here until I see him in the clouds of glory. Amen?
Amen.
So hymn number 212, I invite you to stand with me as we sing this hymn.